This is Pastor Emery, a highly successful and almost secret war is being waged against America. One of its effects is the corruption of all Christian morality. How and by whom is this war being brought against Christian America? When I began this series to answer the question, what is Mystery Babylon, I had thought I might spend 4 or 5 broadcasts. However, so much of what is currently happening in our world is prophesied in chapters 15 through chapter 18 of the Bible book of Revelation that I shall have to spend more time on this. And God willing, if you stick with me, you too will see God's prophecies unfolding before your very eyes. With the majority of the clergy today teaching that the events of those 4 chapters are to happen in the future after they say all the Christians are gone from the earth in the so-called rapture, it behooves those of us who know better to teach the truth, that you may be forewarned. The book of Revelation culminates in the kingdom of Jesus Christ upon the earth. That is described in the last 2 chapters, Revelation 21 and 22. Christ's return is described in Revelation 19, and the 4 chapters which precede that describe the time preceding Christ's return. That is the time in which we are now living. Now, I know the majority of the churches and radio preachers insist that Revelation 15, 16, and 17 are all to take place in the future, under what they call the 7-year rule of the Antichrist. That is not true. These things are already coming to pass. The Antichrist's rule now, as you will see as we compare these chapters of Revelation to current history. Last week I said I would discuss the writings of a man called Khalil Gibran. That is spelled G-I-B-R-O-N. He is dead now. He was from India and had 10 books published in America between 1918 and 1934. His book, The Prophet, was translated into over 20 languages and sold millions of copies in America, and it can be found in many Christian homes. Before I read from Khalil Gibran's book, The Prophet, turn with me to Revelation 16 again, where we read last week in verse 12 that the great Euphrates was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Common teaching on that today is this is the literal Euphrates, which will be dried up so the armies of communism can invade Jewish-occupied Palestine. That is not the correct interpretation. The river Euphrates here is the symbol for our white civilization. Our race originated in the Euphrates River Valley, sometimes called the cradle of civilization. It should be called the cradle of Western civilization, since the civilization or culture of the East is entirely different and originated in a different place and a different time. Our race is descended from Adam. The Mongolian or the Asiatic races are descended from people who were on earth before Adam was formed from the dust of the ground in Genesis 2. And by the way, if you have wondered why this great difference between the white race and other races, you should obtain my cassette tape titled The Two Creations. It explains the creation of men on the earth in Genesis 1 before Adam and Eve, and then the creation of Adam and Eve, the progenitors of the white race. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, which was just west of the Euphrates River Valley, so when they were driven east out of Eden, they then populated the Tigris and Euphrates River Valley, which became the cradle of Western or white Adamic civilizations. If you want that cassette tape, send an offering to this ministry of $3, ask for the cassette tape, The Two Creations. My address again is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. All right. As Western or white culture is dried up or destroyed, the way of the kings of the East, the customs, manners, and the religion of the race of the East then flows into the white or Western nations. Eastern philosophies and religions are invading the Christian West. This is made plainer in the next verses, which speak of unclean spirits coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and the dragon is the symbol of the Orient, or of the East, and out of the mouth of the beast, that would be the beast of Revelation 17 on which Mystery Babylon rides, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, that would be out of the mouths of men who pretend to be prophets or preachers of God, but who are not, and are instead false prophets. In any case, it is easy to see that this thing that will come from the kings of the East is not men, but things which come from mouths, Eastern ideas, Eastern philosophies, Eastern religions. In Revelation 17, after the angel called her the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, he said in verse 2, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. To be drunk is to be both mentally and physically impaired. Even in medicine, it does not necessarily mean the imbibing of alcohol, but the taking of anything which impairs the function of the mind and the body. Here the people of the earth are drunk with something coming from Mystery Babylon. In Revelation 18, as the angel announces her destruction, he says in verse 2, Babylon is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And verse 3 repeats that the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Fornication is often used in the Old Testament to mean idol worship as well as illicit sexual acts. So false religion or illicit sex is a part of Mystery Babylon's deception. In verse 5, she is said to have sins and iniquities. Sin is transgression of God's law, so Mystery Babylon represents violation of God's laws. As her destruction is completed, the people will see, according to verse 23, that, quote, by her sorceries were all nations deceived. The Greek word translated sorceries is pharmakia, or in the modern English, drugs. By thy drugs were all nations deceived. And most of you know a drug condition of a person can be brought about by a chemical substance or by mental control, such as hypnosis or powerful propaganda. Again, the result is what the scripture calls drunken or incapable of natural reason. The mind is affected, and the person acts irrationally, even doing things which are harmful to himself, to his loved ones, or to his nation. And that brings us to Khalil Gibran and his book, The Prophet. One example of thousands of books which have insinuated the religion of the East into our Western civilization. I won't take time to read it all, for it is over 100 pages, but if you have a copy, and I know many of you do, turn to the table of contents, and you'll notice it is divided into 28 sections. The first one is on love, then marriage, then children, then giving. Others are on crime, on laws, on pain, on friendship, on good and evil, on pleasure, and so on. and all is fascinating philosophy, and I've met professing Christians who have told me they patterned their life on the philosophy of Khalil Gibran and the Prophet. Let's read a little. The first subject is love on page 15. When love beckons to you, follow him, though his ways are hard and steep. And when his wings enfold you, yield to him, though his voice may shatter your dreams as the north wind lays waste the garden. For even as love crowns you, so shall he crucify you. Even as he is for your growth, so is he for your pruning. And I want to comment, think of this in relationship to its effect on young people. This is not written to affect older people. This is directed at the young, as we can see from the pictures which are in the book. And what does he say? Fall in love, go, follow, yield, even though you might be hurt. And Khalil Gibran connects that with crucifying you, with growing and pruning, only, of course, if you follow, if you go, if you yield to it. He continues on. He threshes you to make you naked. He sifts you to free you from your husks. He grinds you to whiteness. He kneads you until you are pliant. And then he assigns you to his sacred fire, that you may become sacred bread for God's sacred feast. And on the opposite page in this book is a dreamlike drawing of a naked young man and a naked young girl seemingly asleep on a cloudy background. So what is the message implanted in young, immature minds? That young love, naked and physical, is of sacred fire, and you become sacred bread for God's sacred feast. This is, of course, the philosophy and religion of the Hinduism of India and of Baal of Babylon. If our young people had been schooled in the law and the prophets, they would know that in Leviticus 18, the children of Israel were told by Moses that one of the sins of the Canaanites, for which God was destroying them, was nudity and illicit sex. There are 12 verses opposing nudity and 12 others against sex crimes. And God says, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among the people. In other words, be put to death. But in the first 16 pages of Gibran's book, of which millions are in American homes, young people are told to follow love, to yield to it, that it will make you naked and white, and is sacred fire, and you become God's sacred bread by doing that. Young minds are captured by the smooth and seemingly beautiful flow of these ideas. This is from India, from the East, the unclean spirits from the mouth of the dragon of Revelation 16, verse 13. Gibran continues in this manner for more pages with the same theme. Give yourself in love. It is for your perfection. The next section is on marriage, page 19. You shall be together even in the silent memory of God. But let there be spaces in your togetherness, and let the winds of heaven dance between you. Fill each other's cup, but drink not from one cup. Give one another of your bread, but eat not from the same loaf. In other words, have more than one lover. Have more than one husband. Go from one to another. That is the wisdom of Khalil Gibran and the Prophet. Do you see where this is the basis for hippie free love, for the communes where they share partners, for the living together without marriage, so you can leave one and go to another? And he brings God into it. You shall be together even in the silent memory of God. In other words, go ahead, fornicate, and be adulterers, for God is silent on this. Gideon goes on, page 20. Sing and dance together and be joyous, but let each one of you be alone. Give your hearts, but not into each other's keeping, for only the hand of life can contain your hearts. And on the opposite page again is a picture, this time of a naked young girl lying in the foreground with one arm raised, more or less in farewell, as a naked young man walks away with another naked girl in the background, visually showing what the verses teach. Leave one to take up with another, and it is all presented as if it is beautiful and good, even related to being close to God. Where have millions in Western nations been indoctrinated with this abomination of premarital sex, of multiple sex partners? Why, in books such as this, from the East, and of course, don't forget, the same anti-Christian Eastern religious philosophy is presented to our young people in magazines, in movies, yes, and to you older people in soap operas on television, corrupting and degrading Christian civilization with their damnable sins. That is the way of the kings of the East, the sorceries of Babylon, the wine of the wrath of the fornication of mystery Babylon, and we see its results in our nation and among our people. The morality of the Christian Bible is entirely the opposite. God says in Proverbs 5 of marriage, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Khalil Gibran says, fill each other's cup, but drink not from one cup, meaning take other mates. God says, be not ravished with a strange woman, and embrace not the bosom of a stranger. God says, covet not thy neighbor's wife. That's the 10th commandment. God says, whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. That is in Proverbs 6. In Proverbs 7, the wisdom of God tells us that a man who has intercourse with another man's wife, verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, till a dart strike through his liver, and knoweth not that it is for his life. In recent years, doctors have finally begun to admit that when anyone has sexual intercourse with other than their legitimate mate, it is very destructive to their vital organs, especially the heart, and yes, to the liver, just as God wrote over 2,500 years ago. Yes, America is drunk on the wine of the fornication of mystery Babylon, and she does not know the source of the spring from which she has become drunken. It is from the East, the way of the kings of the East, promoted by the dragon and the beast and the false prophet. Revelation 16 is not future, it is being fulfilled in our time and in our land. And my time is up. I have more on this for next week, God willing. Until next week when I return, God willing, to continue answering, what is Mystery Babylon? This is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christians America.